Amazon brings the UEFA Champions League.
Unbelievable!
With Tuesday's unmissable match.
Enchantingly wonderful!
World-class players.
Salah!
What a strike!
Incredible drama.
And Haaland!
History in the making.
Rice with take two!
The UEFA Champions League. It's on Prime.
Everyone, I'm Dan Bover, your old pal, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com, and welcome to another snack-sized edition of our show, How Success Happens, where every week, digging into the archives and giving you that gold, that inspiration gold from one of the incredible people that I've talked to before on this show. So this week, I wanted to take a listen to my chat with one of the most dynamic comedians out there today, Sebastian Maniscalco, who by the time you're hearing this is on a cross-country tour, and if he's coming to a city near you, I heartily recommend you check it out. I've seen him live, and he's pretty hilarious. So Sebastian, I'm sure you already know that he's hilarious. He's famous for telling lots of stories about growing up in an Italian household in Chicago, and he literally throws his body into the act. He's twisting, gyrating as he recounts these ridiculous memories from his life. I always love speaking with comedians because they're funny, and hey, who doesn't love a good chuckle? But also because there's just so much that equates to entrepreneurship. It takes dedication, fearlessness, stubbornness to launch and grow your product, which happens to be you in the case of comedians. So Sebastian had been building his career and audience steadily since he started for years and years and years. And then somewhere around 2012 or 2013, someone posted one of his signature bits about how our collective reactions to someone ringing the doorbell at our homes has changed quite a bit from back in the day till today. I'm not going to attempt to do the bit and ruin it, nor will I play the clip because success does not happen by getting sued. So I just recommend Google his name and doorbell, and you could watch it yourself, and it's great, and it's hilarious, and I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't, it's worth it. Anyway, the clip went viral, and even though he had a pretty sizable audience at the time, it truly blew things up for him. So for this first question, I asked him about that moment, what it felt like to be a part of a viral sensation like that, how it impacted his career in the moment, and what the aftermath was.
I don't know. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't really know what was going on virally with any videos because I didn't even post the video that went viral. Somebody else posted it and it tended to catch on. But I think it was a culmination of things. I think it was a viral video, a Showtime special, a little bit here in a movie, a little bit there on late night talk show. You know, it's like, you know, it used to be you go on Johnny Carson, everybody knew your name the next morning. Nowadays, for me at least, it was more of like kind of building the blocks each year, yeah. A little bit more popular. I would go to a comedy club one year, there'd be 50 people. I go the next year, there'd be 100. I go the next year, there'd be 150. So it was like a slow kind of gradual burn. But that video seemed to be something that everybody really gravitated to. It was a kind of a multi-generational bit, which, you know, your grandmother who's 85 got it and your kid who was 8 years old got it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows what it feels like to when the doorbell rings now and what it felt like back then. It hit on a lot of different levels and it was very relatable. And that's kind of the comedy I've always enjoyed to watch, is very relatable.
How did you develop your voice?
With comedy, it's like practice. I compare it to bodybuilding. You know, when you start lifting weights, the next day you're going to be extremely sore.
Right.
But you don't go back in and do it again. It's just your body is not used to that type of movement. Similar to stand-up comedy, you're not used to being on stage. You're not used to nuances of what might happen during a show, whether a glass breaks or an audience member speaks out of turn or lose maybe your train of thought, and then you have to, there's just a lot of things that you have to learn. And, you know, a week or 2 weeks or a year or 2 years, it's more of a constant going up, learning, and then starting to kind of peel the layers. Because when I first started, I was not very likable. I was very angry. I was not connecting with the audience in any way. And it was like a mask you put up because you're afraid of being judged or
right,
what people might think. But through the course of time and practice, you become a lot more comfortable with yourself and who you are and what your point of view is on stage. And, you know, you start to develop. I started to develop more of a physical type of approach where I'm not only telling you the story, I'm acting it out.
Yes.
But you also have to be careful with that, because if it's too much, it seems like you're almost a character of just like the movement doesn't mean anything. I try to make the movement mean something and then
right,
maybe surprise you with it a little bit. So that just happens over time. And, you know, I'm still learning.
Sebastian is also an actor and had supporting roles in The Green Book and The Irishman, just to name a few. So I asked him what that transition is like from being the entrepreneur on stage in control as he performs to thousands of adoring fans to being a hired gun, standing in front of Martin Scorsese as he shouts action.
The reason I like stand-up is because it's just me. I'm the producer, the actor, the writer. I do everything, the director.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I screw up, I screw up. If I do well, I do well. But then when you go into acting, it's completely different. You have so many other people involved. There's a lot more. I mean, I haven't done a lot of acting. So when literally you jump from doing a little small part in a little comedy movie to your first day on set is with Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro. I was extremely nervous.
I sleep
well. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if they were going to be, I don't know their process as actors. So I don't know, you know,
right.
I didn't speak unless spoken to. I wasn't like cracking jokes on the
right, set. Right, right.
You know, cut, and I went to my corner. And I remember when they yelled cut, Pesci and De Niro and Scorsese kind of got in a huddle, and I wasn't invited in that huddle, nor did I think I should have been in that huddle.
Right, right.
And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, they're going to fire me. but they were very gracious, very humble, and after the first day, it was like I felt like, you know, I think in some aspects of it, I felt like, should I be here? Am I good enough to be doing this? And I think anybody has those
feelings
doing something new. But after that first day, I was like, yeah, no, I do belong here, and I'm going to make the best of it. It was good. It was a good training for me. I didn't know a lot about movie making, and
right,
working with those guys, the best.
Yeah, that's a pretty good set of teachers there. Sebastian also talked a lot about helping out new comedians who are coming up, having them be openers for some of his shows, and also about some of the mentorship that he received from the likes of Jerry Seinfeld and other greats. So I asked him, between being a mentee and being a mentor, if there was any overall advice he could share to all of us listening, whether we want to be a comedian or an entrepreneur or get started with something we've always dreamed of doing. And here was his advice.
For those of you that are out there looking to start a business, get into stand-up comedy, all the stuff you're wishing to do or wanting to do, listen, it's a bunch of hard work. You hear it time in and time out. It's like, listen, like these Gary V's and these, whatever, Ed Milet's and Eric Thomas, they're all talking about the grind and the work. You got to put the work in to get it at the other end. And with all those people out there telling you this, there's still people that just think it's going to happen, or they're entitled to, or I deserve this because I am who I am. Nothing is going to substitute the amount of work you have to do to make your business succeed and it's going to be a lot of downs before there's ups, and it's how you deal with those downs and how you persevere. And I think the whole thing is being patient. You'll get your time if you're working, and when your time comes, you better deliver. You know, if I got The Irishman 10 years ago, if I got a movie like that, I would have failed miserably. It happened when it happened because I was ready for it. I believe that in every aspect of my life. Sometimes in comedy, people draw an audience because they're on a TV show, they're a film, big film, they're a YouTube star, what have you. And then they get a big following and do a big show, and they're not ready for it because they didn't do the comedy clubs. They didn't do the theaters. You know, there's a gradual progression to that. So I believe all those things build up to the Madison Square Garden, and
yeah,
it happened because it was the right time.
And finally, you know, one of the other big parallels between entrepreneurship and stand-up comedians is that there is often go time, the time to walk into a room, whether that is being on stage or in a boardroom and pitching your jokes or pitching your business. It is time to go. So I asked him if he had any pre-show rituals, anything that he did to get his head in the right space, to get himself focused. And here's what he had to say about that. I think it's pretty good advice, even if you're not about to walk onto The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
There's one instance that I learned from, which was on Jimmy Fallon. It was a long week. We were out in New York City. We were trying to sell my book. I was doing a lot of press for a special that was going to be airing on Showtime. And to culminate the week on Friday night was the Jimmy Fallon show. And I had my mother, I had my wife, I had her mother, my in-law, managers, publicists, everybody backstage. And I felt like I was hosting a dinner party. I was there to do 5 minutes of material. So I'm like, right. I got this. And I was just kind of making sure everybody was okay. I was chit-chatting and what have you. And then I went, I did the dry run, and then time to do the show. I went out there, and a minute into my act, I completely froze. I forgot what I was.
Oh man.
My act. I for 10 seconds was completely silent. And then I was actually going to turn and tell Jimmy, hey, can we do this over again? Cause I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was going to pop into my head. There were so many thoughts going into my head, but then boom, it popped back in. And I did the set, and I went to the couch, and during the commercial break, I told Jimmy, I'm so sorry. I screwed up. He goes, oh, don't worry. We'll edit that out. That's not a problem. But speaking of pre-show rituals, I will never, and I have never done that ever again.
Yeah.
When it's about 15, 20 minutes prior to set, I'll tell everybody to get out of my dressing room. I'll collect myself. I'll just walk around.
Yeah.
No, like I don't sit and pray or I cranberry juice or anything like that.
All right, get out of my dressing room because snack time is over. Hey, please subscribe to How Success Happens and get an earful of inspo twice a week. And if you are a subscriber, first of all, thank you. And second of all, I'd love to hear from you. Leave me a comment, a rating, or hit me up on howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. Send me questions you wish I would ask some of these incredible people I get to talk to. Send me your notes. Hey, Dan, I hate when you say that. Why do you say the word awesome so much? One reader wrote in and told me that. Thanks for that. I say it because sometimes, hey, things are just awesome. There's no other word for it. Anyway, send in your thoughts, and I'd love to see them, and I will read them on this show. So if you want more of me in your life, be sure to check out my Substack, This Should Be Fun. And if you want more of this funky music in your life, check out Nika RPM on Bandcamp. Okay, go out there and do something awesome. Awesome, that's right. I said the word awesome. All right, see you next time.